Hello, welcome back to Black Hole Sun, and I'm your host, Moss, and this is episode, I think, 57? Wow, we've done a couple episodes. Thank you so much for coming back. If it's your first time, welcome. We're talking about an old classic movie from the 80s called Legend. It's a 1985 movie. It's epic dark fantasy adventure kind of film directed by Ridley Scott, who's done Blade Runner, Gladiator, I believe Aliens was another movie he's directed. So he directed this movie from 1985. It says 1985, but it also says 1986. I believe 1985 is when it was released in Britain and 1986 when it was released in America. So this movie is, like I said, it's a fantasy movie starring Tom Cruise, a very young Tom Cruise, like super duper young Tom Cruise with long hair, Mia Sara, who, unless you're an 80s kid, I don't really think you would know who Mia Sara is. The only reason I know who she is because I remember her. She plays Sloane in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And as soon as I saw her, I was like, oh, I didn't know Sloane was in this movie. I forgot about that. I haven't seen this movie in a while. I saw it as a kid, and so I'm kind of coming back to it as an adult to watch it and see, you know, my experiences as an adult and see the differences and how I felt about it. And the other person who is really big in this movie is the amazing Tim Curry. He plays the villain. He plays Darkness. He's incredible, as always. He's fantastic. So like I said, I want to do a series. Not sure if it's a series here on the podcast or on my YouTube. I want to rewatch movies I saw as a kid. And this movie particularly, Legend, kind of started that idea because I remember watching Legend and being so scared of it. Specifically, the character of Darkness, played by Tim Curry, was so scary. So Darkness, His name is Darkness, but it's obvious that he's the devil. Or the imagery that we know in Western society of the devil. He is red, he's got the horns, he's huge, he's just scary. He's just a scary dude. So I remember watching it as a kid and being so petrified of it. And also there's goblins in the movie, and that scared me too. The special effects makeup in this movie is outstanding. It's extraordinary. Seeing this movie now, knowing what I know about movie making, it really is epic because I look at the movie and I'm looking, wow, the makeup is amazing. The set design, because nowadays you're so used to, you know, CGI, computer generated backgrounds and stages and actors working in front of a green screen. Back in the day, they had to build these sets. So you see these epic sets of, like, the opening part of this movie in particular. It's like this just giant forest with big trees and all this greenery. Apparently it was filmed in a soundstage in England and parts of it in the forest. So, you know, they had to build that in some cases when it was done on the soundstage. Definitely the part where they go to, like, Darkness's lair. That's epic too. It's ginormous. So you think about, like, now I'm thinking about, wow, that took a lot to create, to make this giant scenery. And the costumes are incredible too. Not to take away the costumes. So everything's pretty amazing. When this movie was first released, it was kind of a flop. I can see why. I mean, fantasy films are kind of hard to sell. I don't know too many that when first released, they were a big hit. Maybe the Lord of the Rings ones. I feel like they were a big hit because people knew of the story, have read the books. So that's why they were a big hit. But I feel like a lot of these fantasy films tend to not do as well at the box office. So this one in particular, like if you go to Metacritic or any of the sites where they give reviews, it's kind of like it's given a mediocre review. Like I think on Metacritic it's 60%. I could be wrong. I have to go back. I mean, I don't... I don't go by, obviously, critics' opinions. Most people will be like, okay, well, good to know. But I think a lot of people kind of are like, I'm going to go in and check it out because something about it is interesting to me. So it won a bunch of awards, too. So it didn't do too bad for a movie that kind of bombed and didn't do that great at the box office. And it kind of got a cult following after all. So, I mean, it did okay. The plot of the movie itself is Darkness, the Lord of Darkness, wants to... So when the movie first opens, there's like a scrolling screen like in Star Wars and explains about darkness and light and how at the beginning the world was in darkness and then light came in. And at the beginning of... You know, at the beginning, the light came in and darkness went away and was hiding because of this light. So the premise and the starting of this movie is darkness wants to bring back the darkness. He wants to get rid of the light. So he asked a goblin named Blinks to kill the unicorns in the forest because the unicorns are a big source of the innocent and light that are surrounding the world. So Blinks goes off and tries to find the unicorns to... So she has to go and find the unicorn and then cut off the horn and bring it back to darkness to prove that she did it. But also the horn has some sort of mystical powers as well. So at the same time, Princess Lily comes down from her castle and is in the realm in this forest area. And she's just, you know, young girl, innocent, leaving her castle and just like roaming around the forest. And she goes to visit a friend in a house. And then she goes and looks for Jack, who is, Jack lives in the forest. He's this boy that lives in the forest. I mean, I wouldn't say boy, like, I guess teenager or young adult that lives in the forest. And she's a princess. And she's so in love with him. And she's so, you know, just adores him. But yet, you know, even the woman she went to visit was like, you need to stop coming to the forest and hanging out and whatever, and I guess slacking, and you need to start becoming more of a princess and royalty instead of just hanging out, you know? You got to start being a lady. And she herself is, she doesn't care. She doesn't care. She's like, she's in love with Jack, and she's in the forest, and she's just happy. And so Jack has this ability to talk to animals. So he's teaching her how to talk to animals. And then at one point, he blindfolds her. And he's going to show her something interesting and spectacular. And she goes with him. And he takes off the blindfold, and he shows her these two unicorns that are just roaming around the forest, deep in the forest. And it's just so amazing to her that these two unicorns are still roaming the world, you know? Because the forest itself, you know, she's more from the human world. She's in a castle with her people. She comes to the forest, and that's where all the, you know, all the different creatures like fairies and unicorns are living. And I personally think it's never said in the movie anywhere, or I don't know if there's a book or anything, that Jack is some sort of, like, spirit. I mean, obviously he's talking to animals, so he has to have some abilities, but they don't stand anywhere, and he appears to be a human, but he's living in the forest, kind of like doing his own thing. He shows such bravery and strength that I kind of feel like he's not just a regular human. So I think he's also a special creature, you know, a mystical creature. So they go to see the unicorns, and she's so in love with the unicorns that she goes and she tries to touch the unicorns. And Jack's like, don't do it. Please don't do it. So she goes and she touches the unicorn. And at the same time, the goblin Blinks is in, like, in the hedges somewhere hiding with her sidekicks. And she blows through a blowpipe poison at the unicorn. And the unicorn runs off. And, you know, and Jack is angry and all this stuff starts happening. And suddenly Yeah, she at the same time, you know, Jack's angry and she's, you know, Lily thinks it's funny. And then she takes out this ring she has in her hand. And she says to him that whoever finds this ring will be able to marry her. And she throws it in the water. And Jack, being silly, jumps into the water. And it's like he cliff dives into the water to find the ring. And suddenly, around the same time, because the goblins took down the stallion and cut the horn. I know there's one word for the horn, alcorn. I could be wrong. When they cut the horn, it's at the same precise time as Jack goes submerges into the water. They cut the horn, and suddenly, like everything goes into darkness, and there's this a winter storm that descends from like the you know it goes from this beautiful springtime to this winter storm, and you know, Lily runs off in terror because she's like, what's just happened? There's like thundering, there's snow, it just got really cold. So she runs off and she tries to go back to the house she where her friend lives. At the same time, Jack is underwater and he tries to come back up, and the pond that he jumped into, the top is covered with snow, and he has to like beat his way out of it, like really punch the ice to get out of there. So Lily runs back to the house, and because of this snowstorm, this midnight, whatever's going on, everyone's frozen in time. That's the explanation they gave somewhere, because I was like, what the heck is going on? Everybody just froze over. So they're frozen in time, like they show this clock, and it's frozen, but everyone's frozen in time. So she goes back into the house and then she sees the goblins are coming this way. And so she hides upstairs and they're just like, I guess they're trying to, I guess, look for her, but not really. And they're just playing around with the unicorn's horns, and then they leave. But in the conversation, she overhears that she's the reason why they were able to cut the horn off the unicorn. And so they go and they celebrate, and they finally darkness catches up with them, and she's like, and Blinks is like, look, I got the horn. But he's like, it's not completely dark. Did you kill all the unicorns? And she's like, oh no, I left the lady unicorn. But that's not a big deal, right? Like, I got the dude, here's the and he was like, you idiot, I wanted them all dead. What are you doing? What are you doing? Like, go kill the other one too. So prior to about the same time, or around the same time, Jack had run into a couple of fairies, a forest elf, and a dwarf, and they were talking about that a unicorn was killed by some goblins. Well, they come across the dead unicorn. Well, not necessarily dead, but you know, later on it comes back to life, but you think it's dead, this dead unicorn, and then the other unicorns circling around. So they're trying to figure out what to do. They see that the horn was cut off, and they're like, we have to find them and get back the horn to bring this unicorn back to life. And then one of them stays there to protect the live one to make sure they're okay. So now that we know, because Lily had overheard Darkness telling them, she followed them for some reason. She followed the goblins and she overheard that Darkness told Blinks to go get the other horn from the other unicorn or bring back that unicorn. She runs off to find somebody, you know, Jack or somebody to help her, because now this other unicorn is in danger as well. So she finally finds the little dwarf that was protecting the unicorns. She lets them know they have to get out of there, and then the goblins show up, kidnap Lily, kidnap the female unicorn, and they go back to darkness. And then everybody else show up later on and find out that everything's gone on, and Jack and the elves and the fairies decide to go rescue. Well, Jack wants to rescue Lily, but in terms of his own sort of mission, he wants, you know, he wants to rescue Lily, but in terms of everybody else's mission, they want to get back the unicorn horn to put it back on the unicorn and bring back, you know, the light. So, you know, they go into his castle, his tree, the darkness is home, and they start to plan against him. And in the castle, it's so much goes on in this movie. In the castle, you know, darkness is, he's enthralled by Lily. He's obsessed with her, but he's trying to turn her into like him and the rest of the people of darkness, because she's so innocent. And at one point, there's all sorts of things that go down, and he wants to make her his bride. And Jack is busy trying to rescue her, and they're trying to get the other unicorn back. They're trying to get the horn, and oh, there's so much that goes on. At the end, Darkness and Jack, you know, they get into an altercation, and Jack wins, and Darkness is thrown into darkness, I guess you can say. And, you know, they get the horn back on the unicorn, the other one survives, and then they live happily ever after. Jack and Lily basically walk off into the sunset together. So that's the story of this movie. Yay! It took a minute. There's a lot that goes on in between those things. There's, you know, fights and, you know, other villains. There's like the swamp hag Meg. There's these torturers in the chamber rooms. There's all sorts of things that happen to them on their way there. It's not just so cut and dry. It's definitely a good watch. I watched it on Amazon Prime. I had some credit, so I got to see that. And I rented it. And yeah, no, when I was a kid, I thought that, you know, the goblins, the FX makeup is amazing in this movie. And watching it again, I'm just so impressed by everything. The scenery, the makeup, the script is so-so. But everything is so, like, incredible. I think that a lot more people need to check it out, because it's actually a really a credible story. And it's not too long. Like, I think it was an hour long. Yeah. So it's not too hard. Like nowadays, like Lord of the Rings was what, 2-3 hours, an hour. That's a cakewalk. I could do that in one night. But I remember just being so scared of the goblins and darkness. Not watching it doesn't scare me as much, but I really enjoyed watching it again. I thought it was really interesting to see it again as an adult, because I think that, like I said, I feel like, you know, how you feel as a child about things and the things that make you scared as an adult, you realize it's just, you know, nonsense. And it was a really interesting movie. I personally would give it a higher rating. I thought it was like it 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10 movie. I recommend you watch it. Let's take a little break, and when we come back, we'll talk about some fun facts about the movie. And we're back. I felt like that was a long, tedious explanation of this movie. Like I said, I really like it. I think you guys should go check it out. You know, if you've seen it once and you were like, eh, I don't know, I think it needs a second viewing. A second viewing of this movie sounds superb. I think that it's definitely something that I was surprised that I would, like, really enjoy. So I want to go down a list of trivia or fun facts about the movie that I thought were interesting, that some of these I actually thought were, you know, it's debunking certain things. That I thought, okay, this one fact, I really did think this was true. So for years, it was falsely rumored that the film was the source of inspiration was the game Legend of Zelda. I thought it was too, because someone started that rumor and I believed it. So no, it is not based on the Legend of Zelda game. Great game, but it's not that. Let's see. It took longer to film than expected, obviously because of the special effects. In terms of special, like real effects, not like digital, because obviously it's 1984 when they're filming it, so it's not, everything's like real effects. So a lot of things happened in between filming. Two of the things that happened that were major that stopped the filming. First thing was the studio burned down to the ground, and secondly, Tom Cruise's father died during the filming. So those two things stopped filming for a little bit. So yeah, that's pretty sad. So what was here, it also explains what the actual inspiration for Legend was. And originally it was going to be called Legend of Darkness, but they just went with Legend. So Ridley Scott drew inspiration for the movie from Beauty and the Beast, and as well as other Disney movies like Snow White, The Seven Dwarfs, Fantasia, and Bambi. Okay, Bambi, that's interesting. This is a funny one. So the face of the goblin Blinks, who is the one that always petrified me, by the way, was designed after that of Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones. Oh my gosh, poor Keith Richards. I mean, yeah, he's got a raggedy face. According to Playton, she thought up the idea when, which was supposedly supported by director Ridley Scott. He then had special effect artist Rob Bottini implement the concept. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, okay. Interesting. Let's move on. So the famous scene in which Jack takes Princess Lily to see and touch the unicorns were filmed in within the garden of Pinewood Studios. At the time of filming, the vast forest set had been destroyed by a fire. The information was stated by Ridley Scott on the director's commentary on the Ultimate Edition DVD. Pinewood Studios was built on the grounds of Hetherden Halls, a historical, stately home also seen in many Pinewood films, so the garden were long established and suitable for dense greenery required for Legends. Interesting. Ha, this is another good one. Ridley Scott was inspired to cast Tim Curry as Darkness after seeing him in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. He'd also considered Richard O'Brien as Meg Muckbones. Oh, the swamp monster, if you were wondering. Let's see, what's another good one? A lot of this stuff is, this is a long list. So for every scene in the forest, every line was dubbed in post-production because there was so much noise on the set. Let's see. So this was Mia Sara's, one of her first movie roles. He discovered her, Ridley Scott discovered her at a casting session and thought she had really good theatrical instincts. She was 16, possibly 15. Think she was 15. No, I think she was like 15 when they started filming. So she was a really good actress from that time. Oh, that's interesting. So Tom Cruise at the time was growing out his hair. So if you watch the movie, you see he has long hair. This is the only time I've seen Tom Cruise with long hair. But he's also super young in this movie. They had asked him to cut the hair, and he said no. And it ended up actually working in his favor. It actually looks really good and made him look more forced, Wally. And I think like for that genre of film, usually it's better to have longer hair. So it worked out in his favor. See what else is here. Tim Curry's performance as Darkness was ranked by Entertainment Weekly as the best performance in a bad movie. I don't think it's so bad. I really liked it. You guys got to tell me if you've watched Legend. Oh, here's the thing about working title was originally Legend of Darkness. I knew that. Let me know if you've watched this movie. You thought it was bad. I thought it was a. I mean, it's not. I don't know. I don't like films are subjective. It just it ain't the room. It ain't that movie, The Room, but it isn't like Like, I don't know what's a great movie. I can't think of anything off the top, but it's not too bad. So the role of Jack, other people who were considered for the role of Jack, Jim Carrey. I don't know. Jim Carrey. Johnny Depp. I could see that. I could see Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp would have probably done a really great job, too. Robert Downey Jr. See, this was young Robert Downey Jr. He played a lot of, like, I don't know. I don't know about Robert Downey Jr. And Jim Carrey. I don't know. It seems like Jim Carrey, he was on Miami Vice once as a villain, but Jim Carrey got famous from being, like, real silly and funny, so I don't see it, but Johnny Depp, I could see that. He could have done a great job, too. Let's see what else is here. There's so many facts about this movie. Like, just different things. I really thought it was adorable. I'm really happy I watched it again. You guys gotta let me know if you've ever seen this movie. The production was filmed in Pinewood Studio Soundstage that had been originally created for The Spy Who Loves Me, a James Bond movie in 1977, later known as the 007 stage and the Chubby Broccoli stage. It has had to be rebuilt twice due to accidents on the stage as of 2012. Let's see. In the American cut, Darkness gives a speech of "In the beginning, there was darkness," showing an opposite perspective of the introduction of the book of Genesis in the Bible. The theme, especially in the director's cut, paralleled the book of Paradise Lost by John Milton, which focuses on Satan's perspective. Ridley Scott made allusion to Christianity in many of his films. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. Let's see. What else is there here? Let's see what else. I think that's it for now. A lot of the stuff is more random stuff in the plot. But yeah, I really enjoyed rewatching that movie. I'd love to watch some more. I think because I do have a movie review series on my YouTube, I'm probably going to do more of that on YouTube than I am on the podcast. But this was fun because it really does bring me back to childhood, and it truly is a fantasy film, like a great fantasy film. I also thought of the animation The Last Unicorn when I think of this film. And Willow. Willow's another one that I think of when I think of this film. So those kind of all kind of lumped together in my head as a kid. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a comment. Message me. I don't know. Whichever way you communicate with me, let me know if you've watched this, if you enjoyed it. If you didn't enjoy it, I'd like to know why you didn't like this movie. And until next time, bye.